Hi, my name is Jessica Kep, and I am a senior plant and environmental soil science major from Texas A&M University. Today, I'm going to talk to you about the salinity tolerance of Calendula officinalis. Here's an outline of what I'm going to be talking about today. First, I'm going to tell you a little bit about Calendula, its agronomic importance, and its potential as an oilseed crop, the objectives for my study, methods and materials used, discussion of the results, a conclusion, and then answer any questions that you might have. So Calendula officinalis is part of the Asteraceae family. On the left, you can see its botanical makeup. It's an herbaceous annual, grows to be about 12 to 15 inches tall, and its primary uses right now are in gardens to add color to landscapes as pot marigolds, in medicinal creams for minor skin abrasions, and in industrial oils. Right now, it's increasing popularity as a drying agent in plants and adhesives, give it higher agronomic potential for the future. Because of its unique calendic acid, the molecular structure of which you can see at the top of the screen, makes it a good drying agent for paints and adhesives. There are also medicinal studies with it, calendic acid in cancer cells, and it's actually been shown to have significant nematicidal properties when rotated with corn and soybean in the corn belt. And it's also popular just because it's originated in a temperate climate and can be pretty much grown anywhere. The importance of salt tolerance in any plant comes from reduced yields as a result of grown in saline soils. Salts affect over 6% of the world's arable land. This is supposed to increase significantly within the next few decades. Lower seed germination cause poor stands. They cause stunting, leaf burn, which causes reduced yields in any plant. So the objectives for my original study was to gauge the Calendula's potential as an oilseed crop in Texas. But we soon found out that Texas's climate does not favor Calendula even in the spring or in a greenhouse setting. So the objective of this study was to determine salinity tolerance of Calendula in general, evaluate genotypes for leaf length, dry weight, fresh weight, and moisture content. On the right, you can see the growth chamber that I used. 8 genotypes were grown in it for 8 weeks. There were 4 replications of control, which only were given distilled water, and the 4 replications of treatment, which was given a solution of sodium chloride and distilled water solution, making 64 pots. For the first 3 weeks, both control and treatment were watered with 475 milliliters of distilled water. Materials consisted of distilled water, sodium chloride, Miracle-Gro as a fertilizer, bucket and measuring cup to apply the solutions, and an EC meter to measure pH, temperature, total dissolved solids, and electroconductivity, which is basically the salt tolerance of the solution. The top table shows what was added to the controls and treatments in week 4. Like I said, in the first 3 weeks, they were only watered, all of them were watered with just DI water. In week 4, they were fertilized, and the sodium chloride was added to the bucket of water until an EC of 13 millisiemens was met for week 4, and then it was increased to a goal of 16 millisiemens thereafter for the weeks 5 through 8. All the plants were harvested and measured from node to the longest leaf tip for leaf length on week 8. Above are pictures of that time of harvest. On the right is a treatment, and on the left is a control. As you can see, there's a big significance, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. Plants were weighed for fresh weight, dried at 38 degrees Celsius for 40 hours, and reweighed. Percent moisture was calculated. Here, this slide shows that the analysis of variance of fresh weight and dry weight data indicate a significant difference between the salt treatments. There were no significant differences among genotype and the genotype by salt interactions because the p-values are less than 0.05. However, the analysis a variance for leaf length indicates significant differences between salt treatments and with the salt and genotype interaction. Because of this interaction, we analyzed the leaf length of the salt-treated plants. The analysis of this data indicated significant difference among genotypes. On this graph, the red bars represent plants grown without salt as a control. The blue bars are the treated plants with salt. There's a definite group of germplasm with a better salt tolerance. You can see the four on the right, Kazakhstan, England orange, England Pacific cream beauty, and California are the four that had the highest means, and Kazakhstan and California show the most potential for salt tolerance when it comes to leaf length. Like I said, percent moisture was also measured by finding the difference between the weights before and after drying and divided by the fresh weight multiplied by 100%. The analysis of variance for moisture in plant biomass indicated a significant difference between the salt treatments. There were also significant differences among genotype as well as the genotype by salt interaction. You can see this in this graph. Three of the genotypes, Kazakhstan, England, Pacific cream beauty, and California, were more salt tolerant. They have higher means and they're in their own group. They're more salt tolerant than the Portugal 34 based on the percent moisture with salt. Here's some pictures of the four genotypes that didn't fare as well with the salt treatments. The salt treatment pots are on the left side of each picture, and you can see the desiccation and stunted growth shown as a result of the salt treatment. On the top left is the Kazakhstan genotype, and the bottom right is the California genotype. They're bolded because those are the two genotypes that I discussed that showed significant salt tolerance when it came to leaf length. In conclusion, there were significant differences found among genotypes for salt tolerance and salt effects on leaf length and percent moisture. For the future, potential genetic variability will be bred to improve salt tolerance in calendula. I'd like to take this time to thank the Cotton Improvement Lab of Texas A&M, Dr. Steve Haig, and my grad students, Rosa Yoriegi and Laura Mazur. Now I'll answer any questions that you might have. Yes?
You give the salt treatments. I want to know, you give the, this salt as dress, it's normally according to soil, it's very less salt stress or medium, or it's very high the salt stress for your research.
For my research, can you?
You use the salt, you use the salt stress. Yeah. You give this long,
Mm-hmm.
I want to know, for this salt, the stress is in the field, is the minimum, is middle, is very high of salt stress, or is very, very low.
Oh, so the question is if
your salt stress.
If it's higher in.
It's very higher. It's very high salt.
I think it is, might be significantly higher than in the field, because it would take a long time for plants to show that effect in the field if it was lower. Does that make sense? Any more questions?
Did you measure the electrical conductivity of the soil or of the water?
Of the water, yes. So I had a bucket of DI water and then added sodium chloride until I got the goal EC. Is that all? Okay, thank you.